Welcome to the Undisputed Politics Podcast. A young activist, Robert is coming to you from a small town in the Mississippi Delta, Greenwood, Mississippi. He started this podcast to share raw, unfiltered views on issues affecting Black and Brown communities around the country. From DC to Hollywood, Robert is bringing you the funk with his thoughts on the latest in pop culture and political news. So, buckle up and join us on this ride. Feel free to join Robert in the conversations on Twitter and listen to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all other major streaming platforms.
All right, you guys, welcome back to another episode of the Undisputed Politics with Robert Wilson. And oh my goodness, we have a jam-packed episode today. The first thing I'll be discussing will be Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. Y'all, it's some things out there that need to be said about this situation. I'm going to break it all down on this episode. I'm going to talk about the 2021 Super Bowl in L.A. L.A. California love. And, oh my goodness, this situation out of Bridgewater, New Jersey, with this young teenage boy that got into an altercation and the police ran up on him. And get this, he got into an altercation with a white guy that ran up on him first. And the police ran up and the first person they cuffed was the black boy. So we gonna discuss that. We gonna get into all of the things on this episode of Undisputed Politics with Robert Wilson. Let's get into it. All right, y'all. Now, y'all know, anybody who's tuned in to my podcast over the last three seasons, if you know me personally, you know I do not do the Kardashians. I like Kim. I feel like Kim has grown from the person that she used to be, but I'm just not a fan of the entire family because I feel like black people made them. They stepped on the scene. They stepped into the reality scene based on black people. We were the ones who kept keeping the Kardashians rolling for so many seasons. We were the ones who were tuned in to that show. We were there for all the drama. We loved it. You know, black folks love us a nice kiki. And so, you know, I feel like we made them, and I feel like, you know, a lot of times, you know, these people, families like the Kardashians, utilize black people to get to the top, and then they don't really do anything but the culture vultures. That's what I'm gonna call them. You know, they take our culture, they get to the top, and then they really don't offer us much. It's like we put you there. And when it comes down to the production of the show, you look at the numbers of the people who are involved in the show and different things like that. Diversity isn't a thing. It's a group full of white folks. And so things like that is what I don't like about the Kardashians and families and people like them. But like I said, I feel like Kim has grown a lot, and, you know, things are definitely different with her. But that's not why we're here today. If you know that over the last couple of, well, last year or so, really over the last 2 years, I'll say it like that. For instance, I think it all really started last year. Well, not even last year, in 2020, when Kanye decided that he wanted to run for president. When he decided he wanted to run for president, that really kind of threw a snag in, like, From my understanding, and I'm going to say it like this, from my perspective, I feel like when he decided he was going to run for president, that kind of threw a wrench into an already depleted relationship. I feel like him and Kim were already on the rocks, and when he decided he wanted to run for president and some of the things he said when he was on that particular campaign run, there were things said about how Kim were raising the child that they have. There were things said about Kim's family, different things like that. And then, as you know, during that time, Kim Kardashian publicly went out in the public about, you know, came out in the public about them trying to get him mental health help. And so pretty much a little bit after that, of course, campaign, he suspended his campaign, didn't win, wasn't gonna win anyway. He suspended the campaign, all of that stuff. And then eventually, it came out that him and Kim had ended the relationship. So fast forward to more recently. More recently, Kim pretty much has moved on, which is what you do when you don't want to be with somebody. That's perfectly fine. You don't want to be with somebody. The relationship was strained. Y'all split up. He no longer lives in the house with you. He lives in a different house. Y'all are co-parenting. Whether you're co-parenting good or bad, it's your right to move on. So Kim has pretty much moved on, got a new man and all of this good stuff. Kanye West has bought a house across the street from Kim Kardashian. There have been instances where Kanye has gone publicly about, the different private conversations they've had. For instance, their daughter just had a recent birthday come up, and Kanye posted on social media about how he wasn't allowed to attend the birthday and all of this. And I'm going to get into my real opinion on that. What I'm not understanding, the excuses that's coming from Black people, I'm not understanding it. Kanye was spotted at the Super Bowl with his daughter at the Super Bowl. So you mean to tell me somehow he can get his daughter to go to the Super Bowl, but he couldn't get her to have a separate birthday party? What I'm trying to understand is, why do people have, I don't have kids, but the way my friends co-parent their children are great examples. I love them because they are stand-up women. The way some of my sisters co-parent their children, I love it because they are stand-up women. And they don't do some of the things that I see a lot of women do. And sometimes a lot of men. And in this instance, I feel like it's a petty situation. You on social media, you talking about how Kim wouldn't let you do this. Kim didn't want you to come to the birthday. Okay, you're the father. You still get to see your daughter. Kim is not keeping you from seeing your daughter. So what you do is, if Kim don't want you to come to the birthday party at the house, you go plan another one. Both of y'all rich. Both of y'all got money. Give your daughter two birthday parties. You don't have to be at the house with Kim. If you had time to go get your daughter to take her to the Super Bowl, you had the money to go get her and take her to the Super Bowl, you had money to get her and go do whatever you need to do for her birthday. So don't come with the excuse that, oh, well, Kim didn't want me to do this and Kim didn't. No. Like, be for real. And then you have a lot of Black people out here defending that type of behavior. Out here defending that type of bad parenting. That's bad parenting. I don't care how you put it. It's bad parenting. It's not bad co-parenting, because I'm pretty sure if he was able to go get his child to go to the Super Bowl, Kim wasn't going to keep him from getting his child on her birthday. So I'm pretty sure Kim had her little party in the morning time. He can come get her, and you can go with your daddy and y'all have a little whatever wang dang doodle in the evening time. I'm pretty sure that wouldn't have been a problem. But what Kanye wants to do, Kanye wants to be this narcissistic asshole that wants to get on social media. He wants so much attention from people. And I'm tired of people diagnosing him with some mental health issue. I'm tired of it. Only people who are mental health professionals should be doing that. And unless he's going to see some mental health professional, the mental health professional give us public information as to what is going on with him, ordinary people shouldn't just be out here casting judgments that, oh, maybe he's bipolar, maybe he's this. Maybe. No, because we've seen this type of behavior when it comes down to Kanye West a few times before. We've literally seen times where this man come out and do crazy stuff right before he do an album. Now, I'm not saying he's doing all of this because he got a new album coming out. But what I'm saying is, he has a pattern of attention seeking, a pattern of narcissism. He has a pattern of this. Then on Valentine's Day, he got a truck at the woman's house with flowers full of roses. This woman that moved on and got another man, and you out here being disrespectful to this man. It's bad enough that you being disrespectful to her as your ex. But the fact that she got a whole new man, then moved on to this new man, and you find it fitting for you to be disrespectful to her and this man. And the issue I'm having mostly with this is the fact that when women say no, and when men say no as well, it means no. Period. End of story. There is no but he want her back. But she did this. But they, no, if she said no, she said she done with the relationship, leave the woman alone. And as a Black community, we need to stop fostering this type of behavior. We need to stop condoning this type of behavior. This is why so many of our Black families are broken up, because we condone such toxic energy and behavior, and it just wears our families down. Imagine they child at home seeing the way mom and dad are carrying on, the way they carrying on. And I'm not letting Kim off the hook. I'm not letting Kim off the hook by no means. Because at this point, the way he carrying on, Kim should have went to the courts or something to get some type of restraining order. They should have went to the courts or something to get some type of joint custody agreement set up or something. She's currently studying to be a lawyer, trying to be a lawyer. So at this point in the game, something should have been in place on the legal side to stop all of this public back and forth. And so I'm putting the blame on both of them, but I really want to have a conversation as it relates to domestic issues, because what's happening right now, they putting on a public display of what domestic violence looks like. Domestic violence doesn't always look like somebody hitting you. It comes in different forms. And right now, Kanye West is engaging in domestic violence toward that family. You are harassing these people. You're harassing that woman. That woman said no. She don't want you back. Leave her alone. And all of the people out here, oh, well, he just want her back. Oh, he just don't. She got a new man. She moved on. You don't bother people when they move on. When she said she was done, that means she was done. Leave her alone. She moved on. Let that be the end of it. There's nothing wrong with letting that be the end of it. He's Kanye West. He'll find another woman. Kim Kardashian isn't the only woman in the world. He'll move on just like she moved on. I don't get it. But like I said, it is what happens in our community all the time, where we foster this culture of domestic violence, and when women say no, men can't take no for an answer, but somehow when men say no, women are exposed to just accept the fact that they said no and move on quickly. That's a double standard that, well, I'm not going to get into that, but we know that's the double standard that always seems to happen when it comes down to rape and different things like that. Men want to be taken so seriously, but at the same time, when you look at, you know, how the amount of rapes that occur towards women, it's like really anything is sexual abuse when it comes down to women. Because if a woman coming out of store and you whispering at her, you whistling at her, and she turn around and tell you don't do that to her, and you keep doing it and you berate her, that's a form of sexual abuse. And it doesn't happen as often to men as it does to women. Now, I know that there are some cases where it happened with men too. But when it happens to me, women so much more often. And that's the reason why I really wanted to get addressed as it relates to domestic abuse and domestic violence. And we just need to stop fostering this in our community. We need to stop allowing this to be okay. It's not funny. It's not a joke. All of the people are saying that, oh, Kanye might be going through something mental. Okay, let's say for the sake of just having this conversation, he is going through some mental health crisis. It's not okay for us to keep fostering this. We on social media and I see people in the comments laughing, snickering, kiki, how, how. Happy that this man is carrying on the way he carrying on. Now, what if tomorrow he has some type of break and go over there and kill Kim and the child? Well, oh, he might not do that. That's what everybody say. People are, everybody, all these men who have these breakdowns, nobody really thinks, other than the person that they've been abusing, that they would come and actually do some of the things that they actually do, kill their children, kill themselves, kill the wife. Nobody actually thinks they'll do that, but they do it because they have a mental break. And so, like I said, just for the sake of this argument, let's say he is going through a mental health crisis. What's funny about it? What's the joke? Now, I personally don't think he's going through a mental health crisis. I personally think he just likes attention. We giving him the attention. People all up in his comments, kiki kow kow. You got people sharing his posts. He's going viral every day. You got him all at the Super Bowl sitting there with his face covered the whole Super Bowl. And we just got to be honest about what it is. And like I said, I would like to see us Black people stop fostering that type of behavior. And if we don't stop fostering that type of behavior, we are going to end up continuing to have situation after situation where our Black women and even our Black men, because like I said, there are some cases, are ending up in these relationships that turn out bad, and their children are watching, and their children grow up and foster those same relationships. And then the cycle is just going to keep repeating. And so we need to stop fostering those type of environments. Encourage Kanye. We need to be out here encouraging Kim Kardashian to go to the courts and get some type of restraining order. We need to be encouraging Kanye to go sit down. Encouraging Kanye to go handle his business with his child in private. All this getting on social media, posting private messages, and you putting flowers in the woman's yard. And we need to be encouraging him to cut that stuff out. Encourage him. But in this age, we're in the social media age, you know, things like that go viral. We enjoy those type of things. And that's what's fostering these bad relationships and things. So that's all I can say about it. We're going to move into our next topic after this break. We're going to be talking about the 14-year-old young man. At the beginning of the episode, I did call him a boy, and I'm sorry about that. I want to call him a young man. The 14-year-old young man out of Bridgewater, New Jersey, the incident that happened with him, and y'all, when I say y'all this story, y'all, you don't want to miss this story. So I'll catch y'all on the other side of the break as we continue this episode of The Undisputed Politics with Robert Wilson. All right, we're back from our break. So, like I told you guys, we're going to talk about this next incident, which is very... If you haven't heard about it, I implore you to look on YouTube or go to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anywhere, and just type in Bridgewater Mall fight. And the incident will come up. But what happened was, and I'll just kind of give my view of the video. And like I said, we all know this, know how this show go. This is about Robert's opinion. So I'm not getting into the whole going back and forth about what nobody else got to say and all that other stuff. Yeah. I'm not giving no other views on all of that. You can go watch the video and figure it out your own self. What I got out of the video, what happened was young Black man, 14 years old. He's apparently sitting there, he's chilling or whatever with his friends. They in the mall. Apparently, from everything that's being reported, this white boy, well, white young man, I'm gonna respect him as well, just to show that I can give a little respect or whatever. Pretty much the white young man, you know, walked up and, you know, was doing his little talking. So the Black young man got up from his seat, as you should. He got up from his seat. And when he got up from his seat, pretty much when he, as soon as he got up, the young white man was finger pointing all up in his face and yada yada yada, and you can hear the kids in the background say, "Yeah, take it," you know, telling them, you know, boosting it all up, "Yeah, take it outside. And so as the white young man has his hand in the black young man's face, the black young man did what we all would do, which is smack his hand out my damn face. So the black young man said, "Get your hand out my face," and he was still waving his hand, and the black young man, you know, kind of smacked his hand out his face, and then a fight ensued. As they were fighting, the black young man ended up getting pushed on the back of the couch. They ended up falling on the floor, and as they were tussling on the floor, the white young man was obviously, from the video, if you go watch it, he was on top of the black young man. Police officers run up. Now, you would think they running up, you would think that the natural reaction would be to pull both of them off each other. One officer take the other young man and, you know, handle him, put him in handcuffs, and another officer take the other young man. But that ain't how it went. They ran up, they snatched the white young man off the black young man, and immediately jumped to the assumption that the black young man was the aggressor. They got on top of his back, knee in his back, and handcuffed him as if he was a criminal. And the white young man is sitting on the couch. And all the while that arrest was going on, you hear white kids in the background, and I'm arguing with people on Twitter about that. You hear the white kids in the background saying the N-word. Now, they didn't put the R on the end of it, but they was definitely giving the, you know, the rap video in Igga. They was definitely giving the Igga. And so I posed the question, why is all them kids and them white kids in the background feeling comfortable enough to say that? And another question I had was, who did that white young man feel like he was dealing with? Why did he feel like he felt like he could be comfortable waving his finger all up in this young man's face? And then the people on Twitter and all these other places gaslighting people, saying, "Oh, well, you shouldn't put your hands on people." No, you're not going to get up in my face and put your hands in my face. And for people in the black community, know that ain't how we roll. We don't get down like that. In the hood, if you're from the hood, you know we don't even get down like that. You're not going to put your hand up in my face and disrespect me. In the hood, you know that's how it go. In the hood, you know that's just how it is. Number one rule in the hood, you don't put your hands in nobody's face. You don't get in nobody's face. You respect people's boundaries. You don't spit. You don't get in nobody's face. You don't, ain't no touching. Don't touch me. Don't get to the point where you feel like you're going to touch me. That's just how it roll. Disrespect is disrespect. And so what I was posing to the people, they was like, the young man, the young black man shouldn't have touched it. No. Because in what world do you live in where you feel like it's going to be okay for you to stand up in my face and put your hands by my face and I'm not going to move your hand out my face? After I give you the warning the first time to get your hands out my face, and you keep on putting your hands up in my face, that's when I move to the next step, which is I'm going to beat your ass. And that's what ended up happening. That young man did exactly what he should have done. Socked that little boy upside his head. And to the white young man's parents, you need to teach your kids to be respectful. Because this ain't 1965. It ain't 1954 or whatever else, however other decade you want to go back. This ain't that. This is a new generation of young people. These young people not taking that bullshit that the bull drive. And that's not to downplay anything our ancestors went through, because they went through some troubling times. But this generation, we not the kind to sit back and take that type of bullshit. You're not going to be all up in nobody's face, waving your finger and got your little nasty hands all up in my face. You ain't got no mask on. You got your hands all up in my face. I don't know where your hands been. And you think you're going to wave your hands all up in my face and I'm not going to move your hand. If I ask you the first time, I give you the warning, you don't move your hand, it's on. And that's exactly what happened. Then you got the Bridgewater Police Department. Let me read you the police statement that they released. Bridgewater TWP Police Department is aware of a video on social media of our officers stopping a fight in progress at Bridgewater Commons Mall. We recognize that this video has made members of our community upset and are calling for an internal affairs investigation. The community is not calling for an investigation. We seen the video. We calling for a firing. Fuck an investigation. But that's neither here nor there. Let me continue. The officers were able to respond quickly to this incident and stop it from escalating because of a tip we received from the community. It was a damn mall. If you got officers walking around the mall, you see a whole bunch of kids scrambling. You ain't getting no tip. But like I said, he neither here nor there. We have requested that the Somerset County Prosecutor's Office assist us in this matter and are requesting patience as we strictly adhere to the New Jersey Attorney General's Internal Affairs Directive. We appreciate the videos that we have already received from the community members and ask that anyone who has a video of this incident, please email it to tips at, you know, the email and all of that. And then it said the men and women of the Bridgewater Township Police Department are thankful for our community partners and look forward to continuing to be a positive relationship. Now, I kind of broke down a little bit before I got to this breakdown as I was reading it, but why they always want to come out with the bullshit? Like we dumb. Like we don't see what's going on. You ain't got to have no investigation for no video. At any normal job, if a video was to come out like this at any normal job, first of all, you're going on a suspension. Fuck all the rah-rah about an investigation. The first thing is you going on a suspension. Whether that suspension is going to be paid or unpaid, you going on suspension while we investigate this. You're not going to continue to go work and this type of video has surfaced. You're not going to continue to be at work. So that's the first thing. He needs to be suspended or fired. The two officers need to be suspended or fired. And that's just the first thing. Period. Point blank. End of story. No rah-rah. No extra kiki about it. They need to be put on some type of leave. Sent home on suspension. First thing. Now, I'll allow you to have your little investigation because people deserve due process. But once you get done with your investigation, the video shows all they need to see. We ain't got to try to figure out what they mind was thinking and all of this other stuff. Because we seen exactly what happened. They ran up. First person they went to was the black kid. They put him down. One of them had the knee in his back, which we seen from George Floyd. You shouldn't be doing no way. He was already on the ground. He posed no threat to you. He's a 14-year-old boy. So there's really no emergent threat. He didn't have a weapon. Only people who had weapons were you two, the two officers. So people are questioning what was the point of all of that. The issues need to be addressed. Black people are sick of it. Our children, black children are tired of it. And they not even old enough to be in their 20s and 30s. But our teenage children these days and this generation are sick of this bullshit. And I'm glad they standing up for themselves. I'm glad these stand your ground rules in different states. I'm glad our children are saying, if they feel like they're going to get up in my face, I'm going to show them you're not going to get up in my face and be disrespectful. I'm not my ancestor. You're not going to get in my face and feel like I'm just going to sit here peacefully and not touch you. You get in my face, you get disrespectful with me, you put your hands on me, you do any of that, and I'm going to show out with you. And that is what is happening, and I'm loving it. Because we need to get to a point where we stop letting these people feel like they can disrespect us, and let, especially their kids, because that type of behavior is learned at home. For that white young man to feel like he could get up in that black young man's face and wave his finger around and do all that pointing and all of that and think that young man was going to warn you one time to get your hands out of my face. And you continued to wave your hand And for somehow the people to say, oh, well, he shouldn't have hit him. He shouldn't have moved his hand. He shouldn't have did. No. You put your hand in somebody's face, you get the consequences of putting your hands in somebody's face. And then you got the people out there saying, well, the young man, they need to arrest him for assault for what? I'm not supposed to move your hand out of my face. You put your hands in my face. I'm supposed to let you get all up in my comfort, putting your hands up in my face. You got me fucked up. Because like I told him on Twitter, like I told him on Facebook and on Instagram, if you get in my face, robber, you get in robber face, you try me like that, I'm going to jail. That's just the end of that story. That's going to be on periods. I'm going to jail. My people will figure it out. But I'm going to jail. Because you're not going to get in my face like that. You're not going to disrespect me like that. If I'm not disrespecting you like that, because quite honestly, the young black man was just standing there. Of course, they was in a heated argument, but the young black man was standing there. He didn't have to wave his hand to talk. He didn't have to wag and slap his hand all around up in nobody's face to talk. But somehow, the young white man felt like it was okay for him to be slanging his finger all around up in that young man's face. And so, as a black community, This is what I like to see. This is what we need to start doing. All of that sitting peacefully at the counter. No. We tried it. We got what we got out of it. We got the voting rights bills and we got the desegregation to be able to sit at the same restaurants and go to the same schools and ride the same buses. We got it. You know, we can't complain about it. It is what it is. Our ancestors did what they need to do to get it. We thank them for that, but it's a new day and it's time for us to fight a little differently. If you get in my face, I'm not going to let you get in my face. Because see, what happens is, if we allow this type of behavior to foster, just like I said, when it comes down to the Kanye and Kim Kardashian situation, we can wrap it all the way around. If we continue to allow that type of behavior to foster, if we send the message to these people that we're okay, we've trained our children to allow your children to talk to us that kind of way, to stand there and wave your hand all up in my face and you spitting while you're talking and all this other stuff. You ain't got no mask on during COVID. And you're talking and waving your hand all up in my face. If we foster that type of behavior and we allow it to continue and to thrive, do you know where we gonna get? We gonna end up in a place where those kids are eventually gonna become adults and they're gonna feel like that's gonna be okay behavior as adults. They're going to feel like they can be in Walmart and they can get into it with somebody in Walmart and they just all of a sudden start waving their finger and being all racist in your face and you not going to do nothing. They're going to get to places like Congress and going to think that they can say whatever they want to say to black people in Congress or in the state house or at their job. If we allow their behavior to foster and it go unchecked. So, I'm not a person that pushes for violence. I'm not a person that necessarily condone violence and think that, you know, violence is the way to go. But when you are provoked, don't be provoked and just sit there and allow it. Handle your business. And that's what the young man did. He handled his business. And black people, we gonna stand up for him. I'll see if I can find some information as it relates to how we can help this young man out as far as his legal issues or whatever, you know, we may be able to do. I don't know if there's a GoFundMe or anything like that. So if you're tuning into this episode and you would like to help out, go over to my Twitter account, my Facebook, or, you know, my Instagram, and I'll definitely be looking out for that information. I'll definitely share it whenever I can get it or whenever it comes out or however. I'll definitely share it. So be on the lookout for it. We're going to go ahead and hop into this last and final topic, which is the 2021 Super Bowl halftime. So I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back from the quick break, we're going to jump right into the conversation on the 2021 Super Bowl halftime show. Be right back.
Donald, they just don't respect you.
They never did.
Or fear you.
They used to.
Now they're in a conspiracy against
you. They're after you.
Ron DeSantis just dissed you on a podcast run by wealthy super lobbyist Josh Holmes, Mitch McConnell's top strategist.
If that was a threat earlier, I would have been much louder.
You remember Mitch and Josh.
They're in charge.
They've been plotting to get rid of you.
You're a joke.
To take the GOP away from you.
You are irrelevant.
To control rhino candidates loyal only to them.
They're humiliating you.
All while raising millions using your name.
Their money now.
And DeSantis?
Usurper.
He begged for your help.
Like a dog.
But now he wants to be president.
Betraying you.
And he's coming for you.
Coming for you.
It's sad, Donald.
You were never one of them.
So much contempt.
So sad.
So much disrespect.
You embarrassed them.
So much laughter behind your back. They didn't take their party back. It was theirs the whole time.
I'm standing in your way.
All right, we're back. We're back. We're back from that break. California love. Oh my goodness, y'all. The Super Bowl halftime, 2021 Super Bowl halftime. Oh my goodness, y'all. Oh my goodness. You had to be born in the 90s. You had to be born in the 80s and the 90s to understand. It was magnificent. It gave everything it needed to give. The only complaint that I saw from a lot of people was that, you know, it didn't give much in regards to the effects and different things like that that we normally get. But most of that is because of the location. It was in L.A., so during the time of the halftime in L.A., it was round about maybe five-ish or however. Or it wasn't nighttime. You know, the sun, the moon had not, the sides had not cleared, the skies had not cleared or whatever. So it was still a little light outside. So it was very... They couldn't really, it was a little light. It was much light. So it really couldn't be that much in regards to the effects and different things like that. You know, usually we get a whole bunch of fireworks and all of that type of stuff during the halftime. It was also the fact that they were in a stadium that didn't have a open ceiling per se. So it was more of a domed type stadium, even though it has, you know, open sides, so air flows through and different things like that. But it isn't open like most stadiums are. And if you were in like a Miami or, you know, Kansas City and place, you know, cities like that have open stadiums. But it gave everything it needed to give. Another complaint was that it could have been a little longer, but it is what it is. They gave us what they gave us, and what they gave us was A1, in my opinion. So it started off with Dr. Dre. When he showed up, that was exciting because most people don't know Dr. Dre maybe a year or so ago had a brain tumor. And so it's really good to even see that he's still alive and well enough to even come back and be able to give us something like this. Snoop Dogg, you already got the people out there trying to talk about how Snoop Dogg smoked a joint before the halftime performance. First of all, it's in the California. Recreational marijuana is legal in California. So that's the first thing. So it ain't like he was breaking no laws. And two, it's Snoop Dogg. I mean, everybody knows Snoop Dogg. If you listen to Snoop Dogg, I was born in the late 90s, well, mid to late 90s. I was born 1996. So I kind of caught the tail end of a lot of the good stuff that was out at the time as it relates to Snoop Dogg and Tupac and all those people. As I got in my early elementary age years, you know, But it, you know, at the time, a lot of their music was still popular. California Love was my song, and it still is my song to this day. It's a song I like to listen to whenever I pull up some of that, you know, West Coast rap. I'm pulling up California Love and different songs like that. So Snoop Dogg perform, then it went into 50 Cent Hanging Upside Down, and y'all, the girls was gooped and gagged. They were gooped and gagged, baby. Honey Child, 50 Cent was upside down. The girls was fat shaming him. And normally we don't condone that type of activity. We don't condone the fat shaming, the homophobia, the anti-Semitic comments, and all of that type of stuff. We don't, the racist, the homophobic stuff, like, we don't do all that. But 50 Cent has been a problematic individual over the last couple of years. And so when the girls was cracking them jokes, I was all for it. It was funny as hell to me. Like I said, we don't condone that, but somebody likes 50 Cent, he absolutely deserves it. But he did give us a little something. He gave us a little something. It was all right, his performance. I enjoyed it. Like I said, the whole performance from everybody was A1. It was everything it needed to give, so I enjoyed it. We thank him for his contributions to the culture or whatever, but like I said, over the last couple of years, he's been very problematic, so... I can say we can give him his little backlash, his little karma or whatever. Now, we're not going to take it too far. Now, if we take it too far and I start seeing, you know, people, you know, talking about 50 Cent in that way and then trying to, you know, take it out on other people like Lizzo and different things like that, then we gonna start, you know, having to talk about the issue with as it relates to fat phobia and stuff like that. But right now, I don't really see that as now. I think it's, you know, people just trying to, you know, had a little karma moment for 50 Cent. Then it moved on to you had Kendrick Lamar. We know his contribution to the culture. Quite honestly, he hasn't even been out that young. He's more of one of the younger legends, but he is definitely a legend in his own right. He didn't give us Be Humble at the Super Bowl. That was another complaint, but he did give us a little something to make us feel good, and we enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Then we came on to Miss Mary Jane. Mary J. Oh, my Lord. Mother. Our mother. The mother of all. The queen. The absolute queen. The queen. Everybody loves Mary J. It's impossible to not love Mary J. Mary J ain't did nothing for us that I love her. She stay out of the limelight. You know, she don't make too many comments. She don't get into too much. You know, she did have her divorce back here, and she ended up having to pay alimony or whatever. And that was really the first time we even got a glimpse into her personal life during that time, because Mary J. really, literally, she's not the type to, she don't do the whole reality stuff. You know, a lot of these girls and when they get into the music industry or whatever, they use reality TV and movies and things like that to kind of, you know, branch off to make more money. Now, Mary J. does do acting and different things like that. She is on Power, the one of the Power shows, and a part of that series or whatever. But as far as being involved in like reality TV and different things like that, Mary J just don't do all that. You know, she not giving us the tea. You know, she might go on a podcast or an interview or something like that and give us a little something here and there. But, you know, for the most part, she doesn't get involved in controversial issues and different things. So it's kind of hard for a lot of people to not like her, really. I mean, some people might not like her style of music or whatever, but for the most part, people love Mary J. And she gave us everything she needed to give us. Baby, Mary J is up in age and she is still out here, you know, throwing them legs and shaking that body like she's in her 20s, and we love to see it. She is gonna, when I'm not trying to jinx it, but when Mary J is long gone, she is gonna be she's already a legend, but she will be an undeniable R&B legend. nobody is going to come close to Mary J. And, you know, people talk about the versus battles and different things like that. Mary J is a queen where we know there's nobody that's going to be able to top Mary J in a versus battle. I mean, you know, we can have somebody that may compete with her, but as far as coming with the hits, Mary J stands on her own. She doesn't have to compete with nobody because she stands on her own. I mean, the ladies out here, she could have been retired her career, but of course, you know, she had the issue with her husband and getting divorced, so she had to pay alimony and different things like that. So she had to go back to music, but she could have easily been retired and went and sit her ass down. And, you know, every once in a while, I come out, do a little interview like Tina Turner or something like that. But Sister Girl is out here still performing like she in her 20s. And I love to see it. We love her. That's our girl. But then you went on. And I'm not giving these performances in order either. So if you listening to this podcast and you watch the Super Bowl and you like, oh, he not giving them in order. That ain't how it went. I'm not giving them in order. The last performance I really paid attention to was Eminem. Eminem is 49 years old, y'all. And Eminem was on that stage, y'all. And the way Eminem was looking. Now, me personally, I'm for interracial relationships and all of those things. I don't judge people for dating who they want to date and love who they want to love. I'm all for it. And all of those type of things. Eminem will always be invited to the Black Cookout. My personal opinion. But Eminem, y'all, it was out there looking like a whole meal, honey. Whole meal. Looking nice to be 20-something, to be 49 years old, looking like he in his 20s. He was out there, him and Mary J was giving young tees, baby. They was giving, we don't age badly. And I was here for it. I was here for it. I loved it. I was happy that they are able to still put on the way that they can put on. I didn't really notice it because I was too busy. Dr. Dre was on the piano at the time. So I was too busy watching Dr. Dre on that piano because I did not know that Dr. Dre could get down on the piano like Alicia Keys. So when it happened, I was too busy watching Dr. Dre, but during that particular time of the show, Eminem did kneel down, and there's been a lot of speculation going around on social media and all of that about whether he was kneeling, because at the time there was a beat being played about Tupac, and he was giving homage to Tupac, or whether he was kneeling to protest the NFL and support Kaepernick and, you know, Black people and our injustice. We don't really know, but I support either one. I'm not going to be mad at him for kneeling down, whether he was doing it for Tupac or whether he was doing it to support Black people. It doesn't really matter. Both are good causes to kneel. There's also rumors going around that the NFL told him not to do it, but the NFL is saying that Roger Goodell, the commissioner, was at the practices and before the performance, and there was no issue. He knew it was going to happen. It wasn't a thing of, oh, we don't tell him not do it, and they do it anyway. So yeah, it wasn't one of them situations according to the NFL, but we all know how the NFL is. They could possibly be lying. But according to everything, Eminem hadn't really came out and said either or anything like that. So we don't really know. All we know is that he kneeled. Nobody's really mad about it. Other than white people. White people. I'm going to say this, and I hope my episode don't get taken, my show don't get taken off of any other platforms, but I'm just going to say this. Why do y'all get so butthurt when Black people are living and enjoying life? Having all that hatred. It should really bother your spirit. Like, I wouldn't even be able to just wake up every morning and just wake up and just be hateful. And white, for some reason, the white people who watched that Super Bowl performance was just butthurt. I mean, they were so hurt. I mean, they was complaining about everything, the way the women was dressed. Nobody says anything about them the Dallas Cowgirls who barely have any white cheerleaders. the Dallas Cowgirls barely have any black cheerleaders every season, and nobody says anything about them skimpying around their too short outfits and skimpying around their pom-poms. But the moment black people do stuff like that in a performance or something like that, they want to start hollering about the kids, and that's not acceptable behavior. We're too much sex is involved, and oh my God, the rap music was demeaning the police. Black people are, when rap music and hip hop culture, what people don't realize is the hip hop and rap derived out of black people talking and expressing about our lived experience as it relates to police violence. You had NWA back in the days. You got the Tupacs, the Biggies. You got the Snoop Dogg, the Dr. Dre. All of these people rapped about, and even in their current lives, they are still talking about the injustices that black people have faced. And so that rap music and hip hop really is an expression of black people expressing the things that we have gone through and that we are going through in this country. And so for people to act like rap music is just, oh, they that hood, that ratchet, that ghetto music. Okay, well, we live in hoods that white people characterize as being ratchet and ghetto. And so our music, rap music in general, is going to be derived, and some of the themes of it is going to be themed on some of the things that are going on in our communities that we didn't cause. We didn't make the laws as it relates to mass incarceration. We didn't do that. That was Biden. If we're going to talk about it, that was Biden, Clinton, all of them. And we ain't scared to admit it was all of them. And we know. That was the theme of the 2020 elections. It was the theme of the 2016 elections. It was even the theme in the 2018 midterm. We know. We know. But like I said, I don't understand why white people are so butthurt, why they get so angry. But I enjoyed the Super Bowl halftime. Congratulations to the LA Rams. I would talk about the Bengals, but I'm not going to even get into that white boy of a quarterback that they have that everybody want to act like he's a child. He's some type of child, and we got to coddle him. He lost the game, and everybody acting like it's the end of the world because he lost the game. Every year, a quarterback and a team is going to lose Super Bowl. Both teams can't win. There's no such thing as a tie in the Super Bowl. Somebody going to win. And so the issue I have is that every year, you know, depending on the quarter, last year when Patrick Mahomes lost the Super Bowl to Tom Brady, people didn't have that type of energy. It wasn't no, they didn't have the type of energy making them eat anyone excuses about why he lost the game. It was, oh, he's elite. He should have won. Oh, he should have did this. He should have did. Joe Burrow lost the game, and now everybody's, oh my gosh, it'll be another year. You'll come back, Joe Burrow. It's going to be okay, little baby. It's going to be, really. And then let's not even get down to the how he dresses and all of that, because he dresses the way he dresses, and nobody talks about it. I mean, they laud him. They love it. But Cam Newton was walking around with suits on, dressed up with scarves and things around his head, and they call him arrogant. They said he was doing too much. And somehow Joe Burrow walks around, same type of looks, minus the scarf or whatever, I guess. But really, these flamboyant, over-the-top looks. And it's always, oh my gosh, he's so, I love it. And they, like I said, they loathe him. They love it. And it's pitiful. But I'm not going to go deep into all of that. I'm going to go ahead and end this episode. The Super Bowl was awesome. I loved it. Next year, I already feel like we're going to be in for some country music or some type of pop artist or something like that, because it'll be a good little minute before they ever give us a show like what they gave us this year, in my opinion. Now, they may come back around and give us another type of show like that, but I really feel like it'll probably be a good little minute before we get something else like that, especially considering that next year Super Bowl will be in Arizona. So, y'all know how they go. So that's all I got to say on that topic there. Y'all know how I go. Y'all know how I go. All right, you guys. So we've come to the end of another episode of Undisputed Politics with Robert Wilson. Join me in these discussions on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at R.E. Wilson Jr. Feel free to use the hashtag Undisputed Politics. Share the podcast with your coworkers, your church members, your friends at the organization you're with, your activist buddies. You know, join in the conversation. I'm on Twitter going in every day. So join in the discussions. Tune in to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google. Y'all, if Spotify continue bullshit that they on, we gonna come on off their platform. And we'll just be on Apple and Google. But for right now, we gonna stick to them. But like, if they continue the bullshit that they on with Joe Rogan, we gonna remove ourselves from their platform. But until then, tune in to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, and all other major streaming platforms. Thank you for listening to today's episode, and we're out.